Becoming is not a day's job, it's a daily job. The leader believes that it's only a few people that are born to lead, everybody else is born to follow. They tend not to empower their team members. Your body talks to you all the time.
Always.
That's what pain is there for.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. So glad you're listening to Health Power. And I am very excited about today's guest. He is the fantastic Dr. Sam Adeyemi. He is Atlanta-based and he leads leaders. More than 3 million CEOs and high-performing individuals follow Dr. Sam on top social media sites. He holds a doctorate in strategic leadership for Virginia's Regent University and is the author of the new book, Dear Leader, Your Flagship Guide to Successful Leadership. He and his wife, Nikkei, have 3 children and founded Daystar Christian Center in Lagos, Nigeria. And today we're going to be talking a bit about his book. We're going to be talking about how to cultivate healthy habits, how to keep your virtual team healthy. Lots of great stuff, Dr. Adeyemi, or I'm guessing you prefer Dr. Sam.
I prefer Sam.
Dr. Sam, welcome to Health Power. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
So nice. I love your voice. I love your energy. I watched a bunch of videos, but I want to start talking about your wonderful book, Your Flagship Guide to Success in Leadership. I love the dedication. Dear leader, I believe in your capacity to grow, your influence and use it. Sorry, let me say it again. Dear leader, I believe in your capacity to grow your influence and use it to change our world for good. I dedicate this book to you. I love the way you empower the reader right away. Tell us about this. And this is a part of your overall philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Lisa. Thank you so much.
Sure.
As we came out of the COVID pandemic, I thought it was really necessary to help leaders.
Yes.
Because COVID shook everybody up.
Sure,
leaders
yeah.
are supposed to have an idea of where we should go.
Yes.
And then influence the rest of us to come along. But we had a situation that almost everyone on the planet had never experienced before.
Right.
So leaders were just feeling their ways right through the situation.
Yeah.
After you go off, the big gaps in terms of leadership character, in terms of leadership skills, those gaps began to show in terms of leadership values.
Right.
And I look at my own scenario. Being someone who never thought I had leadership qualities when I was a teenager, if I was in a group and you asked someone to volunteer to lead the group, I would be the last person to volunteer.
Really?
Yes, I am introverted. I used to be extremely shy. So I thought the people who are friendly, outgoing, who can express themselves easily, I thought those are the ones who are born to lead anyway. Until someone gave me a book. And then the person gave me a book. He said, there's something about you. So I wanted to read this book, Christian Leadership by Donald S. Altman, an old book. And this was over 30 years ago. So I read the book, and the author said, you know what? If you believe that only few people are born to lead and everyone else is born to follow, you're wrong. Those theories are dead. And especially if you read your Bible and you saw that God created man in his own image, then you better know every single person has the capacity to lead.
Right.
He listed the qualities of a leader. And said, look at these qualities. Whoever you are, you will realize you have some of them already. The ones you don't have, you can cultivate.
Wow.
Honestly, the author was speaking to me. I thought I had some of the qualities, and it was like, oh, wow.
Well, what were some of those qualities that he talked about? And I'm sure they correlate with what you talk about as well.
Absolutely. I mean, like vision, having a vision for the future.
Yeah.
Wanting the future to be better. Like, absolutely. Yeah. Being honest. Fair to the people around you. Yeah. Wanting the best for other people around you, sure, right?
Yeah.
So the ones I did not have, communication, right? Communication, for example. And he became part of my personal development program to cultivate that. So I bought How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Oh, Dale Carnegie. Yes. Of course.
Right? I underline almost every statement in the book. You know, when I tell my friends who are extroverted, they are amused. It's like, oh, you have to buy a book to read how to start a conversation, how to keep a conversation going, and all that. Oh, yeah, I practice them. And honestly, once I improved my ability to cultivate relationships with people and to help them improve, I just literally threw that to the top. Any group where I have found myself since then, I'm just literally floated to the top. I'm out there supporting people, helping them to get better, and so on. So my big campaign, Lisa, is that everyone can lead.
Right.
First, for all of us, when we believe that, I think it helps everybody, because at the end of the day, it's the average leadership quotient in the group that determines the success of the group, not essentially the capability of just one person.
Right.
So all of us are adding one way or the other to the success of our teams. The second part to it is, when as a leader, you believe that everyone can lead, it allows you to empower people to lead.
Right.
But a leader believes that it's only a few people that are born to lead, everybody else is born to follow. They tend not to empower their team members. They believe that there is something that is special about them that is not special about their team members, right?
Right.
So that's why I'm big on the campaign. Everyone can lead. Leadership is a skill. It's a set of character qualities that can be learned and developed.
Well, I just so admire that you took it upon yourself, you know, that you were so inspired by Donald Altman and his book that you were able to say, okay, I'm going to put this into action. And now you're inspiring millions of others. And one of the things that I love too in your book is in the introduction, you write, nobody makes it through life alone. Just as others were here to help me, I'm here to help you. We learn from each other, encourage each other, inspire each other. By sharing our wisdom, we embolden others to continue. I think for some people, if you look at, not to get into politics, but I think some people want to lead because they're kind of narcissistic and they're full of themselves and they're not really doing it to be caring. And so what you wrote really meant a lot to me, because you really do care about people and you're not just trying to be like, well, I'm going to tell you what to do. And it's more like, I want to lead you and help you grow. You can become a leader too.
Absolutely, Lisa. I have had people warn me about the way I take risks on people, right? You know, it's like, oh, you don't do that. If you do that, they'll offstage you. Oh, they'll break away from you. They'll take some of your people or things away. And I just think to myself, as long as I'm acting out of insecurity and fear, and I don't empower people, it's going to limit what I can do.
Right.
The more I empower the people on my team, the more I can achieve, because the more I can lean it to them and move on to higher things.
Right.
So so it's so easy, you know, for us to develop that mindset that we're so special, where everybody else needs to be down there, and then we talk down on them. I think the structures built around success in our world don't help things. Because the more successful you become, the higher you rise, the bigger everything gets.
And your ego sometimes, right?
Oh, sure. That's what I'm doing.
Sorry. I know. I figured, but I like to interject.
Right? You get the bigger title, the bigger office, the bigger salary, and then I tell people the bigger head.
You can't get your head through your office door anymore.
Then the ego comes in.
Right.
And unfortunately, that trips a lot of leaders up.
Yes.
You begin to think, oh, you're bigger than you really are. You just don't find out. It's because people are following you. That's why we call you a leader.
Right.
Once they stop following, you find out you're all alone. Right.
Yeah.
So I have taken risks on people in my career, and what I got was not what I had I would get. What I got was loyalty. Lifelong loyalty. I mean, I've helped people who came to our organizations to set up on their own. That's my dream, for them to also become CEOs and so on. And they are still passionate about helping me to succeed. That's amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
The relationships continue.
Yeah.
And I found out something, because some of them are growing really big.
Yeah.
They are defining my success.
Mm-hmm.
So when people see how successful they are, and they can claim openly, so, you know, Sam, that's my mentor. He's an amazing man, right? That shapes people's perception about me.
Right.
Possibly, right?
Yes.
So it's not a losing game. It's a winning game, empowering other people.
It absolutely is. Another thing you talk in the book about is motivation. And I love how you write, success is first about a state of being before it is a state of action. That's really powerful. Motivation is intrinsic and comes from within you. You also talk about something called demotivators. If you can focus on that first, success is first about a state of being before it is a state of action. And then talk to us about what a demotivator is and how can we avoid those?
Right. So, success is first about being before it is about doing. I realize that when we discuss success, when we discuss leadership, most of the time we focus on what we are to do. But I look at us as humans and I realize it goes deeper than that. That it's your nature that comes first.
Right.
And then what you do comes next. So I say being precedes doing.
Right.
And then doing leads to having. So sometimes Black people want to start from having, right? and then at other times from doing. I say, oh no. The first thing is you look at who you are. One of my mentors gave me a challenge once. I was telling him, oh, we had this seminar. He was so powerful. I had this guest speaker. And he said, that's great. That's great. He said, but should I let you know something, that whole organization you're building is not going to outgrow you? So don't think you're going to be successful. You build it on guest speakers. He said, when you have the guest speakers, they have very high profiles. Yeah, you get guest members, right, who come because of the guest speaker. He said, but once the guest speaker is gone, then the guest members also go. The guest attendees also go.
Right.
What you have the power to attract is what you have the power to retain.
Mm.
So if he said to me, why don't you become the person people want to listen to?
Yeah.
I said, what?
So simple.
But that was the greatest challenge anyone ever gave me. She was speaking to the core of my being, challenging me to grow.
Right.
So today, that's the first challenge I throw to people. Focus first on your being, who you are on the inside, your own capacity. And then from that, you can move on to do it.
Yes.
Now, look at us as humans. How do we grow? We grow by eating. And I said, the food for the soul is information.
Oh.
So, right? Be careful what you're saying. Be careful what you're hearing. Because after some time, they move from your conscious mind to your subconscious. And once they move down to the subconscious, they put your life on autopilot. Right? When I teach at my seminars, I say to people, you know what? I know I've told you quite a few things to do, but you won't be able to do those things until you become the kind of a person that can do those things. So leave the doing first. Let's talk about being.
You're right.
And I say, becoming is not a day's job. It's a daily job.
Right.
So you would need to be hearing and to see, be seeing some things consistently to become. You go to college, and you're there 4 years, and you're hearing, let's say you're hearing lawyers, or you're hearing accountants, or you're hearing your faculty who are doctors. After 4 or 5 years, they say, you also become a doctor. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the process that I propose for becoming. And that's why leaders have to be learners continuously.
Right.
Now, when people are changing from the inside like that, when they're growing from the inside, you don't have to push them from the outside. Motivation becomes easy. It comes from within them.
Right.
because they're becoming. And then, therefore, the demotivators to a large extent would be first the environment that you create as a leader. You've got to create a positive environment. If you create an environment where you're speaking negative words to people, you're crushing somebody's self-esteem, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're disrespecting them.
Yep.
You don't care about the person. You're more concerned about the task, about the goal, about the profit,
yes,
about the success than you care about the person. Those are big demotivators for people.
It is. I mean, I've had a couple bosses that have been very demotivating, and they keep having to replace people, and they never see themselves as being the problem and not being a good leader because they're not listening. They're rude. They're just putting profits above everything. Have you ever, do you give talks to leaders to say, listen, you got to care about your people? I mean, it sounds like it, right? You have to listen to them. They might have something great to say. Give them the independence to grow and show you that they can do a great job without you, like the micromanagers. Oh my gosh. Every little thing, like, you hired me to do the job. I have 25 years experience. Can you let me do the job? I've been a little frustrated, Dr.
Oh yes, I can tell. And honestly, and these are common experiences that a lot of people have at work. So I these days, I tend to spend more of my time with leaders, people who hold high positions, people in the C-suite, because I see that they influence a lot of people. They make a lot of havoc.
Right.
And honestly, quite a number of founders tell me that their high performers give them concerns because they don't have people skills. They deliver the result, they make the money.
Right.
But they leave a lot of broken emotions, you know, in their wake.
Right.
And so a lot of what happens then is people other than are highly mobile. You have people just talking with their legs. They just leave the organization out of frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And the organization is losing talent.
Right.
Right. And sometimes the founder really cares about people, but then your best performing hands are hurting people in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes founders want us to coach their top team, their management team,
right,
on or certain individuals. And I just try to help them redefine success as a leader.
Right.
You can be a fantastic manager, but leadership is about people. Mm. And at the end of the day, the only measure of your success as a leader is not the money.
Right.
It's actually the people.
It's true.
Who people are becoming under you. That is your greatest legacy. Right?
Yes. It really is.
I tell people, hierarchical order in the organization is not necessarily destiny order.
Okay.
In other words, we know where we are today. Yes, you're ahead of me, but we don't know where we're going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Who knows? May turn around and need the help of this particular boss around today. Right? So I say, why not see it as an opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Because tomorrow, it may be this same person who's going to mention them somewhere, make a referral for you.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, being a health show, when you work for somebody who doesn't treat you well, it's very stressful. It can cause health issues. You don't want to go to work. You get down. And I think taking that all into account, and now with this whole virtual world, so many of us are working from home. I know that you have some great information I mentioned in the beginning. It's talking about healthy communication, focusing on mental health and productivity from a virtual standpoint. What are some ways that we can feel better in our work and make sure we're taking care of ourselves, both mentally and physically, especially if we're virtual?
Right. You know, we tend to work harder when we work remotely.
Yeah.
Than when we go into a physical office.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Many of us just, it's getting difficult to define your closing time, right?
Yes, that's true. I do work a lot. And I
it's right there at home, right? Yeah. And because we're not running all over the place, we underestimate how much work we do. But right now, then the work has shifted to the mental space.
Yes.
And mental work can be draining. It actually drains your physical energy.
Right.
Right. So, I'm someone who's had to deal with stress. I used to break down, right? Yeah. I just was underestimating how much I was dealing with my body, right? And my mind. And I'll just get to that point where I'll just break down. My health will just break down. And I mean, I grew up in Africa, and every African has the malaria parasites in the blood. They don't have to be bitten by a mosquito. It's just there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You're right.
No.
But we've developed immunity against it, so the immune system suppresses it. But when you allow that immune system to go down, the malaria just flares up. Because I used to be confused. I would say, but I wasn't bitten by a mosquito. Why do I have malaria? Right?
Oh my gosh.
And then it was a doctor friend who told me, look, it's stress. One particular time, it was so bad. My bones were aching. In fact, my bone marrow was aching. I was scared.
Did you say it was leaking?
It was aching.
Okay, I was like, oh my gosh, go to hospitals. Yeah, we
got I was, the pain was so much. I said, the doctor, take everything, take my blood, take everything, run out the test. The doctor said, we don't need to take anything. It's stress. He said, no. This pay, I've never had it like this before. He ran the test and there was nothing. It was stress.
Right.
Right. So eventually, I didn't change that much. Eventually, another doctor friend, one of those times, I broke down again. My health broke down. And this doctor friend said, look, you've got to resolve this thing once and for all. It's stress.
Right.
When do you feel the least stressed? I said, you know what? Interestingly, I like flying. I like traveling. But he said, okay, so why don't you travel more often? And that was it.
Really?
Right? So each person's system is different. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I'll say is be sensitive to your system.
Right.
Your body talks to you all the time.
Always.
That's what pain is there for. Pain is to communicate discomfort. Communicate that something is going out of whack, right? Be sensitive to that. That's why different people have different allergies, right?
Yeah.
And so once you know what it is that you ingest and then your body is reacting, then you know to avoid it, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with stress, right? First, be sensitive to your body. Know when it's getting too much, right? Don't push your body unnecessarily beyond the limits. Secondly, pay attention to your diet because definitely that affects your immune system. And you've got to take the multivitamins because the doctors tell us that what we get from our food is not enough.
Right? Yes.
And then, talking about diet, it was my father-in-law, a retired professor of chemistry, who kept me. So there was a day I went by their home, you know, just to say hello. And I was running to my city. And they said, let's have breakfast. I said, no, I'm in a hurry. He said, wait, do you have something you're going to do? I said, not really. He said, let's sit down. Let's have breakfast. Do you normally have breakfast? I said, no. I usually don't go in a hurry. He said, wait. You don't have breakfast? He said, do you take any multivitamins? I said, yeah. Which one? I told him. He said, when do you take it? He says, you don't take breakfast. I said, well, actually, sometimes I also skip the lunch because I'm so busy. So the meal that is absolutely sure for me is dinner. So I take the dinner with the multivitamins. He said, what? You're wasting money. This thing is supposed to give you energy to burn during the day.
Right?
I said, no, don't do that. He said, I'm so sure that by midday, your blood sugar will be going down.
Oh, yeah.
I said, I normally feel sleepy, like around noon. He said, that's what I'm talking about. I said, So he said, even if it's two slices of bread, okay, and then they have some juice, take something in the morning and dip your water in it. That was when I changed, right?
Gotta fuel yourself, for sure.
My immune system.
Oh, good.
The other thing I would add is sleep. The doctors are telling us right now, it's probably more important than even exercise.
Yeah, it's one of the most important things for sure. Absolutely. It really is. You know, I wanted to mention, it's funny, my father-in-law, he passed a couple months ago at 90. He was a professor of chemistry. Chemistry is my worst subject. I was thinking about going to be a physical therapist. I actually have a master's in public health, but then there's chemistry and math. And I said, I'll just get my MPH, which I love. You know, I've been a health educator through media for over 26 years, television, radio, and podcast now. And
fantastic.
Absolutely love it. But I'm not a chemistry person, but he's a smart guy. And so was my father-in-law. Talking about eating and sleeping, I know that you also talk about ways to cultivate healthy habits. What are some advice you can share with us?
Well, so the first thing is that it takes time to cultivate habits. So you don't have to be intentional.
I love that word.
Sorry. Right.
Yeah, I love that word, intentional.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to have, you know what, you're not going to really put your energy into it.
Exactly. And it's like, I studied first as an engineer, right?
Wow.
So
that's like math. And like me.
Well, so I know there is impetus. And there's momentum when we're talking about forces. So what it takes to move an object from stationary position is a lot more than what it takes to keep it going.
Right.
So, and that's why you've got to be intentional. You actually have to make up your mind. You have to be clear about your goal. And then I say, it doesn't work for me to say, I'm going to stop this habit. No, it doesn't work like that. You can only replace a habit. Okay. So instead of doing this, I'm going to do that, right? Maybe you have a habit for eating something you know is not good for your health. Then you say, okay, instead of taking this, I'm going to take that. Or instead of taking this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go on a walk, right? Or things like that. And then the other important dimension is accountability. Growth is usually difficult. When you try to overcome something you've been doing for years, you know, that's like second nature to you.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, on the spur of the moment when we have to make decisions, it's the default programming activity that takes over.
Oh, that's true.
So while you're trying to reprogram the default programming, it's good you have someone who can hold you up to your new standards or your new goals, who can remind you, who can ask you, so how are we doing, right?
Yeah.
One interesting thing is when you really feel, powerless or weak, and you're almost doing things the old way you used to do them, if you can call someone and just be open and say, you know what, right now I'm just not feeling good about this thing. I feel like doing the wrong thing, actually. Just by talking about it, the stress goes, and then your friend talks to you, and you have to carry on from there.
Yeah, that's true. You know, another thing, I'm getting back into your wonderful book, is about fear. And I know a lot of people can be held back by their fear, especially when they're trying to create their own business. Maybe you're at a point where you have a ton of experience and you feel like, you know what, I'm ready to take the next step. I'm ready to do my own thing. And that fear holds you back. Do you have any advice for us, Dr. Sam?
That's a big one, though.
Yes. I don't want to keep you here forever.
Right. So, you know, a lot of people look at successful people and assume that they achieve big success because they don't have fear. But it's not so.
Yeah.
Everybody feels the fear, right? And you can turn it to your advantage, turn it into a learning opportunity, right? Use it as an opportunity to reveal what you're trying to do. But the important thing is you've got to always remember, if you always give in to your fears, you never achieve anything.
That is so true.
So we've got to act in spite of our fears.
Right.
Some people describe it this way, do it afraid.
I like that.
Do it afraid. Because that's what, without fear of danger, courage loses its definition.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Courage is acting in the presence of fear or danger, right?
Yeah.
So you act in spite of the fear. I remember I went on radio when I was 27 or 28. Yes, just a few days after my 28th birthday, I went on radio. I called the program Success Power. I began to teach people success principles.
Oh, nice.
I was afraid doing that.
I bet.
You know, the first question that came to my mind, it was an inspired idea, I must say. Because I was still trying to succeed myself, right?
Yeah.
So when the same, and then I get the inspired idea, go on radio, teach people how to succeed. And I'm thinking, wait. Should I not be successful first? What gives me the authority to teach people how to be successful? But in my own case, I had read so many books. I had learned so many principles. I had applied some of them. I was getting results.
Yeah.
So I did it anyway. And gratefully, the amazing thing, the moment I began to tell people, look, I'm going on radio, I met some gentlemen who were experts in the area. And they groomed me, they trained me, they took me into the studio, you know. And then when they told me how much it would cost for production and airtime for the first quarter, I almost screamed. Anyway, I kept my composure.
Okay.
When I got home, I wrote the amount of money on a special of the park. I wrote radio broadcast, and I used sellotape. You know, take it to the wall in my bedroom. And every day I would look at the money as the American's money. I pray and both. Long and short of it was the money came, I started the broadcast, and that was 29 years ago.
I love that idea, by the way, of putting it where you can see it, right? Like putting a sticky note, just something that reminds you that you're going to get there. I think another thing a lot of people suffer from is imposter syndrome. And they feel like, you know, they'll, especially if you compare, let's say you're starting a new business and you Google, you know, other people in the business and you're like, oh my God, they have 40 years experience. I only have 25. Oh my gosh, they've been on that show. I've only done this. Oh my gosh. You're still your own unique person with your own unique experiences, and you're not an imposter. Just because someone has more experience than you, we all have gifts that we bring, right?
Absolutely. Now, that's a big issue, Lisa. This imposter syndrome issue.
Right.
And again, many people don't know that a lot of successful people deal with this, right? Because you just have that voice in your head telling you, are you sure you're qualified for this? Are you sure this is going to last? Are you sure? Maybe they're going to find you out. Maybe they're going to meet a situation you won't be able to resolve.
Right.
You know, but yes. And that speaks again to the issue of being. We're more powerful than we think we are.
Yes.
Right? We are more powerful than we think we are. So we need to value what we have. You know, these days, people have concerns about AI. Oh, the robots are going to take over.
Yes.
People are going to lose their jobs. And all that. And yes. I agree. The robots are going to take some jobs. But there's something the robots are not going to take. Your creativity.
Right.
It is so unique. The way your brain is wired.
Yeah.
The way you perceive things. Your interpretation. The way you connect the dots. It's so unique to you. Even if there were 8 trillion people on the planet, it would still be unique to you. So I agree with you, Lisa. At the end of the day, your own story is unique. Your own experiences are unique, and most people undervalue their stories.
Yes, they do. How do we get people to realize that their story is important and what they bring to the table is important?
Thank you. I think it's getting people to look backwards instead of around and forward in terms of comparing themselves with people.
Right.
So whatever it is, you've learned some things. And there are people who don't know how to do it, including knotting a tie and tying loose shoelaces. Okay. So maybe a young child that needs to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
You have some skills, you have some experience, you have some story that is very valuable to someone. I think most people are trained by default to try to sell to everybody, to try to reach everybody, to try to give our message to everybody. And then we experience a lot of rejection because it is not everyone that values what we have.
True.
So what we've got to learn to do is to try to find those people that highly value what we have.
Right.
Not everybody needs what we have. But for those that desperately need what we have,
right,
they highly value what we have. And seeing that they highly value what we have even builds our own self-esteem.
Right.
When you're talking to 100 people who tell you, no, I'm not interested, that runs down your own self-esteem. And I think it's because we're trying to reach everybody at the same time. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to know it. There's no one who does not have talents. No, all of us are gifted.
Yes, Absolutely. That is true. That is true.
I encourage people, for example, to go run psychometric tests online.
Mm-hmm.
I run them on my team members, MBTI or 16personalities.com,
mm-hmm.
Temperament, strength. I run all of them. So you can see your strengths and your weaknesses. Everybody has weaknesses, but at the same time, everybody has strengths.
Right.
Once you identify those strengths, take them for an extraordinary level.
I love that. Now, tell us about your podcast, Fit to Lead.
Thank you so much. So my desire always, again, is to empower leaders, right?
Yeah.
So I'm recording videos, I'm always speaking.
Yeah.
I put on the videos, I'm posting on all the platforms. And so that's what I try to do specifically on my podcast to encourage leaders. I actually put it on hold some time ago because in my team, we agreed to evolve to a new level on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So we're coming up with something. Effectively, it's audio, but what we're coming up with is a video podcast.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, I actually use clips from all my podcast interviews, but I'm going towards doing that as well.
Right.
It is, I think it's really fun to watch. And you're so dynamic in your speaking and you're wonderful to look at. So, I mean, I think it's a great plan. What do you enjoy most about what you do? It really moves you. You have that passion.
Oh, yes. I just love to see. I love to see people transformed. I love to see people grow. So by my own wiring.
Yes.
I value the power of the mind and the power of thought.
Mm.
My mind is my powerhouse.
Yeah.
I value the fact that my mind just connects things differently, right? So many years ago, I bought Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Okay.
Honestly, it puzzled me when I saw the title. This was back in Africa almost 30 years ago. I said, what? Think and grow rich? Nobody ever told me that before. All I knew was what? And grow rich? Think? They took all the money I had on me that day was what it took to buy the book. I bought it. And honestly, I saw the power of thought.
Mm.
So, right now, if people ask me what's the value I add to people, I say I shift mindsets. I shift mindsets to help leaders see possibilities and help people to see how they can become those possibilities.
Yes.
So, yes, it is where people become the possibilities That's when I get tremendous fulfillment. So right now, I've been doing this for over 30 years, speaking, organizing conferences, being on radio, TV, and so on.
Great.
So now I get to hear a lot of stories.
I love stories.
Oh my God. Those stories excite me.
Mm.
People have grown. People have changed. People have been transformed. And that encourages me. Well, now I have to look beyond the individual level. So I'm working at the organizational level and now also working at the national level.
Mm.
I want to see nations change.
Wow. Dr. Sam, you are so amazing. I hope you'll come back because there's so much more that I want to talk to you about. Was there anything we didn't touch on today, Dr. Sam, that you were hoping to touch on? And of course, tell us all the ways we can find you.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. It's been exciting being here, right? And well, my website is samadeyemi.com, samadeyemi.com. And I'm on all the, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, right? And my book is titled Dear Leader, Your Flagship Guide to Successful Leadership. It's on Amazon.
It's a great book. You know, I want to mention one of the things I love about it is you ask people questions and you leave space in the book to write it. That yeah. sort of interaction is fabulous. It really helps you tap into yourself. So I appreciate you. And I think that's really great.
Thank you so much, Lisa. You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you. Well, I love what I do as well. All right, everybody, keep coming back to Health Power 5 days a week. If you want to see clips, go to my social media, TikTok and Instagram, at Lisa Davis MPH. Rate, review, subscribe, and tell all your friends. Never miss an episode of Health Power. Thanks so much.
Well, that's it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. And we would appreciate it if you could please rate and review and leave a comment, because the more you engage with our podcast, the more you will find it and help other people find it wherever they listen to their podcast. So be sure to follow us. I'm at Andrea Donsky and at Naturally Savvy. And Lisa?
At Lisa Davis MPH.
Thank you so much. And please share this episode, because the more you share shows you care. We'll see you next time.